So what happens to children and women in poor communities in this country where there is already a lack of sanitation and where they cannot afford pads? They are left to fend for themselves or to find methods that are not healthy or dignified in order to take care of themselves during that period. So which departments should team up together in order to deal with this issue that we have in South Africa and even across the world? The departments of health, education, social development, and in my last minute research that I did in the past week, as well as the Department of Trade and Industry. How would the Department of Health take this issue up? Many South Africans were very dissatisfied with the government earlier this year when Max condoms were introduced. Although I do not believe in the arguments that they were putting forward that the money that is used to fund condoms should be used to fund free sanitary pads, I believe that both condoms and free sanitary pads are reproductive justice rights issues. So the government has shown a lot of initiative and a lot of strides in how they have provided free condoms over the years when it was choice, and they have even improved by providing Max condoms to show that they care about people and people using condoms for safe sex and to reduce and prevent more HIV infections. This shows that our government is capable of providing free sanitary pads for those that need it in an effort to show that they are pro-women, firstly, and pro-health issues beyond just HIV. The Department of Basic Education, I've already said that there has been a very clear association with absenteeism in schools and menstruation. For example, I have an antidote. At Bekisisa, where I work as a health journalist, a woman called Nontokozo Buthelezi emailed asking if we could donate pads to her school. Nontokozo is a teacher in a school in KZN in Nomponjwana village. She buys since 2008, she's been buying pads for about 100 of the learners at her school when she realized that they were banking classes or not coming to school at all because they did not have pads during that period. The school in Nomponjwana is a school that falls under quintile 1-3 schools, which is already a no-fee school and where a lot of poor learners go to school. So if the Department of Basic Education could provide free pads for schools, particularly schools that are in poor communities like the one where Ms. Buthelezi teaches, this would be a way of dealing with the issue. But the problem then arises when these young girls from these schools go back home where they're probably not the only girl or menstruating girl in their families. So the packet they might get at school, they would have to share with 2 or 3 other females in that household. So this is where the Department of Social Development comes in. In the mandate, the department has said that they empower communities and they are about creating sustainable livelihoods. So the department could find a way of distributing pads, free pads and free tampons, if that's possible, to menstruating people who are out of school, unemployed, and still need the supply. Particularly also when you look at the question of how homeless women deal with their menstruation is never really addressed. And the Department of Women in the Ministry. The core function of the Department of Women in the Ministry is to exercise oversight over different policies in different departments and to champion the issues of women and to promote gender equality. Through their insights and their power to oversee policies in different departments, I believe that the Department of Women in the Presidency has the ability to make sure a policy is drawn up into finding sustainable ways of dealing with the issue of free pads. And I was glad to hear that yesterday the Honourable Minister, Sujun Shabangu, said that there will be a policy ready by 2017. In closing, we can there have already been different initiatives within the country from both governments and from private sectors and different individuals. For example, we all know of period panties such as SUBS or Dignity Dreams, which has worked extensively with the Deputy Minister and the President, Honorable Butimana Mela, over the years. There are also different corporate social investments that companies such as PNG and other private sector companies like banks such as AFSA and FNB have done, where they've donated lots of pads to different schools or communities in South Africa. And of course, the Skins 1 million comfort campaign. And people like the teacher that I mentioned, Ms. Buteledu, who have, out of their own pockets, used their own money for pad drives and to donate in their communities. So earlier this year, when we realized that, when Liberty Africa realized that we would like to bring this to Parliament, we created, in partnership with Amandla.mobi, we asked South Africans to sign a petition asking and lobbying national government to take this issue up and to find ways to solve the issue at hand. And we're happy to announce that over 4,000 people have already signed the petition saying that they support this issue, because some have been affected personally and some are affected by just realizing what this issue is. For example, these two testimonials that came from two of the signatories. The first one is from a woman called Gelabedze Mutalu, who was talking about how she did not have pads as she grew up, and how this is an important cause because she doesn't want the dignity or the education or health of other young girls to be compromised. And the other one is from another signatory who's a father of three daughters, and two of them are already at menstruating age. He felt the need to sign the petition because he would not want his daughters, who are privileged enough not to go through this, have to go through this when they're on their period of not having enough material. So what are our recommendations to the committee? We are humbly asking the committee to write to the President requesting an update on the 2011 announcement that was made, and for the update to be made available to the public as soon as it can. Asking for the expansion of various initiatives such as the Dignity Dreams partnership that is going on with the Deputy Minister, the Honorable Deputy Minister, and also to find alternative environmentally friendly ways of addressing the issue at hand of providing pads through using reusable pads and panties that where NGOs like Dignity Dreams and SubPads have already started making them in bulk. And for a long-term and sustainable solution, a national policy should be created, and it must be prioritized and added to the National Development Plan for 2030. One thing that is completely missing from the issue of sanitary pads, particularly in South Africa, is the lack of research on how many people this issue affects. So through partnerships, maybe with Stats SA and other NGOs like the HSRC, research should be done into menstrual hygiene to be conducted in order to understand how severe the problem is, in order to know how it could be. Before you can solve a problem, you need to know how big it is. And I think it is important not only just to solve the problem, but for historical background sake, to know how much we would need to address this issue. And also on local and provincial levels, where a new kind of education in terms of like life orientation, where the destigmatizing of menstruation is prioritized. As we all know, there is taboo in many cultures that exist around the issue of menstruation. There's a lot of association with menstruation being dirty and showing that somebody is unclean. So it should also be prioritized within the basic education curriculum, and as well as just general society, where menstruation is normalized into what it is. So it is easier to talk about this issue, and people are not embarrassed to talk about the fact that they lack sanitary pads on a daily basis. Thank you, and I will take any questions if they are. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Lady Africa. Now I'll allow for questions of clarity or questions. Honorable Suminya, Honorable Pet, and Honorable Madam. And yeah, that's all for now. Honorable Tseke and Honorable Zwane, Honorable Bengu, Yangale sequence.
Thanks, Chair. And let's welcome the presentation from our sister. As a women's caucus, probably, Chair, from my side, it will not be a question because she has presented issues that we've been talking about them since we're realizing that there is a problem. I think the presentation is welcome and suggest that probably because already she's here and treasuries and departments are here to present. Request the committee to do, we've done it. That's why the treasury and education and other affected departments, they are here to give us the feedback, how far are they in implementing those issues. But just to indicate that the issues that he has raised actually has enlightened us more, because we have just been saying education, health, and social development supposed to be involved, but the way she has unpacked it, I think it has incapacitated us as members to continue to argue with the various departments, and we just want to welcome the presentation then.
Thank you, Chair. I think I want to welcome the presentation and just to continue on what Member Semenya said, that it enhances our arguments further, the need. But in your analysis, I would like you, South African issues don't start in 1994. They were created by a system that oppressed the whole population. That is why there is so much problem among the African community. It is them specifically that have a problem in terms of economical issues, you see. So you can't start it there. It should start when they were oppressed by a system, you see. So if your analysis, every time when we teach communities, or communities must know that everything didn't start in 1994. Government has huge responsibility, but a private sector acts like it is a charity. You know, it's they are doing charity work when they were part and parcel of that system to oppress the whole nation, you see. So they must come with government together to resolve the problems that they created, you see. So we need partners. All of us must be partners in creating a new community, a new society that will not oppress people by virtue of being of different color, you see. So issues of sanitary pads, we wouldn't be sitting with this huge problem if people were treated the same from the onset. So that's what National Treasury must also understand. And that is why we are saying it should not just be only the poor with women now, because the new argument with women is that women now have equal rights, you see. So when you have the burden of making the whole population poor, and now you have another burden of liberating one sector which was oppressed. You must remember that the majority of the society, which is women, were oppressed by a system also. Apart from being of a certain color, they were also oppressed now as women. So you need to bring them on equal path. When you serve the interest of one sector, which is the male sector, you must also serve the interest of the female sector. So that is our argument with National Treasury, where we are saying, remove VAT. If Nigeria could remove VAT, being a third world country, if Kenya could remove VAT, what is stopping South Africa? With South Africa has more resources than Kenya. It has more resources than in Senegal, you see? So that's our, they need to convince us, what is stopping them in removing the VAT? If Nicaragua could do it, why can't South Africa do it? So those are our arguments. That is why the president realized that I think we are failed by the officials that are sitting in different departments. Since 2011, when the president delivered the speech, they should have implemented immediately. And National Treasury should have given them the budget if they did not have the budget. But even now, we're still struggling to get these sanitary pads to schools. What is their problem? We don't know. Because we're sitting here, we're extending your responsibility, National Treasury, because your responsibility now is removing the VAT. It's not only giving the poor those sanitary pads, you see. So that is our argument as members of Parliament. And we need your support as communities to come with us on board to push the frontiers of poverty away from our people. Thank you.
Okay. Honourable Robertson, you must bear in mind, Honourable Members, that we've got to give the departments some time because we ahead of us we just have an hour, and so they will, that hour is for them. It's good presentation.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'll be brief. I applaud everything, and I thank you for what you have done. It's something all of us have been thinking about for a long time, so I'm glad that the initiative is being taken. And I just want to ask one other question. I do know quite a bit about subs. I don't know about the other problem, at least product, but something that has come to me recently is the menstrual cup, and I've been told that this is used extensively in Europe and also in China. But as far as I know, it's not well used or, you know, known about here. Have you done investigation into that? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I'm covered by Honorable Semenya and Honorable Chiu. But just adding on two things that I think we have committed ourselves, Chair, as these committees, both your multi-party and your committee on women, that will make sure that we hold the executive accountable, different departments accountable, to make sure that we implement the directive by the president. It's an issue that is affecting all of us as women, and even in different constituencies. As I'm speaking now, I'm also having a requisition from one other school, that is Quintal 1, and they have requested pets too, because they've experienced a child who's been using papers, you know, for some time. So I've got a requisition in front of me, and the problem is that whom am I going to approach now? But if I don't have any alternative, that this means that I have to take money from my pocket, you see, to make sure that I assist that school. But this matter is affecting all of us as women and as leaders, and we'll make sure that we hold them accountable. Chairperson, it's unfortunate in the country we don't have a legislation or a policy that speaks to that. You know, most of the departments and most of the private sectors are doing it, you know, haphazardly, it's not coordinated. So because we lack that policy directive. But the minister also confirmed that I think they'll be having Indaba or whatever in January, They'll be consulting different stakeholders so that they can be able to make sure that before the end of 2017 we have that policy directive so that we can be able to move forward. Because we need a coordinating structure. We need somebody who has been given powers to coordinate all these programs. Otherwise, most of the things we're going to do them, but we're not going to give to see the results at the end of the day. But otherwise, Chair, that's my input. Thank you, Chairperson. Just a couple of issues, Chairperson, that one has taken note of or that could be a contribution. We welcome the presentation. It has thrown a lot of light on critical issues, particularly the issue of educating the young ones about the use of inappropriate things to use as pets and the consequent diseases that may develop as a result of that. It's a program that needs to start quite early in their lives, and that would be a responsibility for the Department of Education. See, yeah, partition power. Now, the issue of funding this, Chairperson, I know that directives have been given to provinces in various programs. Let me cite an example. You say that of the MIG funding that were given to the province, 15% will address the issue of sports integration. It is done like that, and it never happens. So in this case, Chairperson, if we mean business, in order to sort of emphasize and compel the provinces to oblige in terms of actually addressing this issue as provinces, when the money leaves Treasury, there will have to be an amount ring-fenced for sanitary pads to the provinces. Otherwise, it will not happen. It is an issue that I'm raising. I know that there are processes of developing policy, but in order to give it an importance that it deserves, money will have to be ring-fenced to instruct the provinces to say that this amount of money will be used by the Department of Education or DSD or whatever, or health, to address the issue of sanitary towels for those students that are poor and cannot afford. Another issue, Chair, approaching also private funding. Basic Education has got a trust, an education trust, that has got a relationship with a variety of private business. Those also could be requested to come on board and put money in the kitty to address this issue. And then I like this lady, Chairperson, that has been buying pets from 2008 to up to now, taking care of 100 learners. It's a lot of money if you were to sit and calculate. And I think that lady deserves recognition. Like all the other ladies, she should be invited as a guest of the president during the SONA next year to recognize the effort. Chairperson, let me race off to my next meeting. Thank you very much. It's a pity I won't hear the response of the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And thanks to honorable members. I also want to thank the lady for the presentations from Liberty Africa. I fully agree with other members. I've been covered to some of the comments that they have alluded to. That as the Portfolio Committee on Women in the Presidency, we have been discussing with this issue for a long time, since the directive by the President. That there should be a provision of sanitary towels to indigenous young women. But we have a meeting with the minister in the presidency, Minister Shabangu, and also reported to us that as a Department of Women in the presidency, they are going to have an indaba next year to develop the policies that with regards to make sure that the women's dignity is restored, especially for young women in schools and in the higher education in universities. And we agreed about that as the portfolio committee. And that these sanitary towels should also be manufactured locally, because we have seen that since there is this issue of sanitary towels, there are many people that are coming outside this country who are saying that no, we are going to provide these things. But we said as the department, as the Women Portfolio Committee, we would like the department to make sure that all those sanitary towels are manufactured in South Africa and are endorsed with the SABS standard, and for the DTI to support those companies that will be manufacturing those pads. By end that the pink tax, we also said as the portfolio committee, there should be a pink tax to be removed so that those who can afford to buy those tags can be able to do so. I would like to say that I would also want to concur with Honorable Ezwane to say that those people who are taking to as an initiative for them to provide those sanitary towels to young girls should be recommended not only by coming to the President's State of the Nation address, but to also be seen by us as this portfolio committee or by this multi-party women so that we can be able to recognize them. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Beng. We acknowledge the presence of the Secretary of the Governance Cluster, Honorable Suzanne Matlami. Yes, I am going to give a chance to the departments now, starting with Treasury. You know, this issue of it might sound monotonous to other people because everyone is dealing with this. I'm telling you, I'm from Zimbabwe, from a SADC. It is an issue from all the other countries. And it is one concern, the same concern. Now you can see that this is a natural thing. And by now, our government should have taken this into consideration. Thanks that we are dealing now, we are going to have a policy, but I think Honorable Zwane is quite right. The policies, the money must also be there. And I think the Department of Treasury, from where we were last time, is going to give us more progress on this issue. I don't know who's going to make the presentation amongst you two.
Chair, I'll start, and my colleague, Male, will finish off. My name is Yangam Puta. I'm with National Treasury Tax Policy Unit. I was here on the 14th of September regarding this issue, and you were caught by surprise. Okay. I'm thinking about that day. Okay. On the 14th of September, we left with two questions as Treasurer. You said to us, supply free sanitary towels to indigent women and scrap VAT on sanitary towels. So we've got those two questions. And then we went on and to say, how can we do this? Because as Treasurer, we provide money. We do not do the implementation. And we depend on government departments to supply us with the business case so that we can give the money based on budget allocation. And as you said we should check if from the 2011 State of the Nation address, have we done this through on budget allocation to government departments for this? We must be honest with you, we have not received business case from government departments. Therefore, Treasury has not issued any special budget allocation in this regard to government departments. That is where we are. So after that, we formed, there is a task team that is formed with the Department of Women. because the Department of Women look at other budgets as well for women, as the nice lady has said here. So what we did, we looked at as Treasury, because we have to say how much we have and how much we do not have. We divided this issue into two. We looked at immediate focus and we looked at medium to long-term focus. And you have said in Parliament, the immediate focus is to do this through the expenditure side, to supply pairs similar to the way condoms are supplied. But in order for us to do that, we need government departments to provide us with the business case so that they can say how the supply is going to be. So that is what the task team is all about, because the immediate focus, it's easy to do it. We do pairs like the feeding scheme. We do pairs like books. And we even said that in terms of those girls who are not at school, maybe we're going to speak with social development so that they can see how many girls or women are in their social grant system, so that they can say if maybe there are 1,000, this is how much they have, and then how do we supply them? Do we increase the social grant by 20 rand, or maybe do they have the coupon to get the pets? So those are the options at Treasury we're looking at, because social development to cater for those who are not at school, and Department of Education, both higher education and basic education, to cater for those girls that are at school. But this is the task team we are at with the Department of Women. So at Treasury, this is the immediate focus. It's easy to do. We think that it may be easy to get the numbers, so that, and if the business plan is there, if there is something we can have, if the government departments give us, maybe on the February next year budget, we can be able. But there should be numbers so that we can be able to budget. That's what the budget office told us. So, and the immediate to long-term focus is the issue you talked about, VAT. We propose here not to look at VAT only, but various tax instruments to support this. And the honorable lady who speak the second time said that Kenya and Nigeria have scrapped VAT on pets. We understand that, but the problem, I was in Kenya in 2008, negotiating the tax treaty between South Africa and Kenya. Kenya does not have old age grant. Kenya does not have social grant for children, for orphaned children. Kenya does not give free housing. They were kind of like surprised that South African government even have old age grant, social grant, child grant, and housing. So, and what we are saying is that VAT comes second in tax collection for the national revenue. The first one is personal income tax, the second one is VAT. So we are saying that rather than look at one instrument, we have to look at other various tax instruments, which is the medium to long term, to see what can we do rather than maybe focusing on one instrument, which is VAT. Is there any other instrument that we can look at, maybe we give tax credits and all that, rather than looking at VAT? Because as we have said previously, we have said these are the concerns that we have with opening the VAT system, because we collect more on VAT so that the money can be distributed for the social grants, for the housing, and for the old age grant. So we do not want to open something and then we are not able to collect, but we want to assist. We're going to look at VAT, look at being taxed like other countries, but look at other various tax instruments, not focus on one tax instrument of which you are scared that maybe it can be open to abuse, and then look at other tax instruments to assist in this regard. So that is our medium to long-term focus. We are looking at other countries. Australia tried to take out the pink tax, but they couldn't. Canada. So we are looking at other countries to see what exactly are they doing, and then what will be the best for South Africa, because South Africa depends a lot. We depend on our revenue so that we can also do other social activities. Thanks. Male, who's sitting at the task team, will continue.
Thank you very much. Thank you, members, Madam Chair, and also my colleagues from the other government departments. We've seen each other in the task team meetings, and then my colleague Yanga. So I think Ms. Mbuta had already touched on most of the points. I think perhaps it is useful if I just highlight the number of government departments that are involved in this task team. It is really a very interdepartmental team because women's issues affect the whole country and more or less every part of the policy sphere. So you can see that it is our intention is to have a holistic policy. It is not just a single policy requirement for one department. We've looked at the immediate focus, which is on provision of sanitary products. And while we agree that there is some overlap in the way that we deal with, for example, condoms, we're also very sensitive to the fact that in many cases these products are actually very different in the sense that the use of condoms is discretionary and often opportunistic, whereas the use of sanitary towels or tampons is a necessity. So it is different, which means that the vehicle of provision must take note of that. Public provision in, say, for instance, a bathroom might be very useful, but sometimes you want to target it even more so that the intended beneficiary is reached directly, which is why we have started to think about other delivery mechanisms, which might be vouchers or different, because you also want to protect the privacy of the intended beneficiary. You don't want stigma attached to the receipt of sanitary products. So that covers most of this slide too. And then something that has come up before, we need to be cognizant of the health and production standards that are involved here, which is why the SABS is also one of the agencies that we want to contact in this interdepartmental group. And we have to be very cognizant of the socioeconomic context and the physical environment of deprivation, which means that some of the alternative products that are that might be available around the world, like reusable pads, like menstrual cups, etc., might be suitable in some circumstances, but not necessarily in all circumstances. Where you have physical deprivation, and I think the DG of Women points this out at more or less every meeting, where you have physical deprivation, where people don't have running water, or electricity, if you need boiling water to clean the product, then that might be a further difficulty and a health risk in the end. So we need to be cognizant of all these factors. Then to get to the tax instruments, as Ms. Mputa identified, we'd like to look at various tax instruments and how they can possibly improve equity in the country, particularly in terms of gender. And perhaps it's useful here if I just indicate that most countries levy VAT on sanitary products, though there are a number of exceptions. But the international pink tax debate is actually a very particular debate in many countries and also in particular states in the U.S., where tampons in particular attracted luxury sales taxes or VATs. So in those cases, there's been a lot of pressure, which I think is fair, to reclassify those products as necessities. So in a number of countries, that those luxury taxes have been removed. And then, for example, in the UK and Canada, last year and the year before, the VAT itself had been removed, which is a different case then. Okay, and then we had a quick look at some of the data that is available to us about the distribution of the use, the consumption of sanitary products, which included both sanitary towels and tampons. And if we were to give relief, the distribution would be targeted towards the upper end of the income spectrum, which is one of our fears that it might not be an equitable result. Thank you very much.
No, thank you so much, Chair and the co-chair. And thank you from the presenters from the Treasury. I am aware that, unfortunately, we have to do some other commitments. We have to do some commitments. And I'm assuming that Liberty Africa and Amandla Mobi have already presented. But if you have done that, have you already presented, right? I'm assuming. Yeah. I just want to quickly just to and Chairperson, you'll excuse me. If it has been done, please stop me. There are recommendations that have been done by the presenters, and I want to zoom on that. The first one is the Parliament asked this committee write to the president requesting an update. Now, I just want to answer that one, that, you know, 2010, the president in his sauna, he spoke about this. It's the president who started this debate. It was in 2010 sauna. So I am request...
11.
Come again?
2011.
2011, right. Now, thank you. 2011, now, that's what he did. That's very true. And it becomes unfortunate if an issue, like the issue we are talking about, if we are going to see it being implemented fast or quicker. The reason being that the fiscus, the port itself, it is so constrained. So, having said that, I am aware, and the committee is aware, in women, right, that there's an IMC over and above the task team that is being done by the official. The IMC is being led by Minister Susan Shabangu. There is Minister Bathabile Dlamini. There is Minister Angie Motsekga. What they are doing there, they are looking at the criteria. The criteria which is going to say, like, some of the things that they were said by the whip of the committee, who must supply this, because there is a commercial interest. And as government, especially the Treasury, Treasury allocates according to the case, like they said. But this is a huge mammon task that the government can't have it, manage it on its own. We need partnership. So they are looking at those issues. And the two, they are saying we need to be very cautious about when we say things we're going to do, we must be cautious of some socio-economic issues that goes with that, what you say we're going to do, because we're going to find ourselves having some toying going on the streets because you said you're going to do this and we can't do it. So the departments can't just go blindly and say they are going to do this without the proper criteria in place. And to do that, they need proper research, they need to have hearings, and that is in place. That is happening as we speak. That IMC is sitting. That IMC is looking at where do we start, how are we going to do
okay,
it.
Okay, can I intervene here, Honorable Susan? That is why we are here. We want government to tell us what are the predicaments that they are meeting. And that is what they are doing. And from where we were, we've got other concerns that are arising now. And we got, from what the departments told us, some of them say they don't have a record of children who don't go to school, which is not true. That's what we want them to tell us here. We are, and we understand very well, we are members of parliament, public representatives, and we understand what government is encountering and how our GDP is now. But this is a natural thing that cannot be stopped, and we can't have an interval on this bleeding and people who cannot control it, people who don't have money, Honorable Cezanne. That is why we are here. We want the government to tell us, Honorable Siminye.
Chair, I think maybe I wanted to suggest that because we don't have much more time, we should actually, either we get all the presentation and we limit it so that, and if we go into discussion or asking questions, then you attach minutes so that we are able to finish presentation and discussion, but I must raise this issue, Chair. There is no any reason whatsoever that who can come in the meeting and say the pronouncement of the president that was made in 2011, department are still doing something else. So we cannot come into the meeting and say those things. I'm appealing, Chair, that let's not go back. We want to get the presentation and have a way forward. Thank you.
Chair, in all the departments, APP, there's nothing like deliver. They haven't written anything about sanitary beds, you see. So we can't argue that. Department must just implement in the process. The ministers, the ministry will develop that policy. But at this point in time, people need those sanitary beds. That's like condoms. You know, they need them now, you see. So let us not go there. They must decide the planning and programming, because you do things in terms of when you implement, you'll do it in terms of improving what you have put in place. It try and error, because it has not been done before. So there will be those mistakes, but they must show us how they are implementing it now. They are implementing it in Gauteng. The social development is doing it in Gauteng. If one province is doing it, then other provinces can still do it. In the process, we will develop the policy. But at this point in time, the National Treasury has just told us, Member Susan, that the departments did not present any business plans, you know, in line with SONA. Because when the president delivers that speech, Treasury, all other departments must read the SONA and say, this is what the president has to deliver, you know. And they must bring in those their business plans. And it is also, the onus is also on the National Treasury to ask these people, why didn't you present 1 and 2 and 3? They are not asking each other. They you know, they are doing sweet talks with the departments. And then at the end of the day, we must come as public representative and defend their sweet talks as officials. We can't continue doing that, because our people want delivery on the ground. And we can't keep on postponing and postponing as if government is not doing anything about it. At the end, it is the president that fails to deliver, not officials, you see. And that's the snake about South African politics. And there are no punitive measures that are taken on officials that do not deliver on their jobs, and they get salaries every month, you see. And that's our problem. And it is women that suffer all the time. You know, ma'am, you don't have to give many excuses about sanitary pads and say it's a logistical. There are many issues in terms of pads and all that. There are no complications. There's never complications when men's issues are supposed to be delivered.
Yeah.
But when it is women's issues that are supposed to be delivered.
I take it that you are now on...
Yeah, on sanitary issues.
No, on the questions to...
To the National Treasury.
Okay.
Yes. I'm just saying, when it comes to women's issues to be implemented, they'll give you all these stories. But when it is women's issues, it's a problem. They'll give you that issue and that issue. Pets are pets, you know. End of story, you know. You can't say, we'll have to debate it some other time, but I can tell you, even now, they brought you here as women, as if it is just a women's issue. It is not a women's issue. They must be here, they're decision makers. Your male counterparts, you know, he was frustrated the other day when we told him about these issues. They, every time we call departments, they will send us women. And they know that women are not decision makers in those departments. Why don't they give us DGs? Why don't they give us DGs? Because DGs are decision makers. And we are saying to women's ministry, they must put the performance plan, the performance contract, their performance contract must be based on women's issues. How much budget do you give it to women so that women can go out of poverty? How much budget do you... We want that be written in the performance management of DGs. We don't want to speak to people who don't have decision-making what? Powers. Yes. Because we talk and we talk and we talk and nothing happens. So we want decision makers to be in our committees. Finish and clear.
No, Chairperson, I think we must give the department to give us their presentation and tell us why do they not give those cases to the department, to the National Treasury, because this thing has taken around 5 years now. We are in 2016 since the 2011. No allocation, no budgets that have been cases that have been given to the National Treasury. They must tell us now why. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Bing. I've got an agenda in front of me. Now, I was giving a chance to people to ask questions to the Treasurer as per a presentation that they've done. If you feel that you are done with, now we are going to go to basic education.
Can I propose, Chair, that let's allow
all of them
present and we'll discuss after.
Okay.
And the chair must be specific and be short so that you don't. Yeah.
I am chairing. Time and everything is good. I am chairing. Yeah. Now I'm going to allow the proposal from Honorable Siminya. The problem is that all these people here are chairpersons of other committees. Now they want to be chairpersons in my own committee. Yeah. Okay. Now we are going to give, I think we are going to take the proposal from Siminya. You can give us your presentations and then we'll ask questions because we don't have enough time. They are quite right. Okay.
Good afternoon, honorable members. I am shaking. It is for the first time in my entire life that I've been subjected into this, and all the questions that have been firing make me to run away. My name is Dululu, and my surname is Hlatshaneni. I'm from the Department of Basic Education under the branch Social Mobilization. I am sent by my DDG. No. Is not. I think my sister has covered me. Is not a woman. I'm not going to waste time with that because I think we have already talked about the 2011 SONA that was given by the president. But I must say that we are part of the task team that Treasury has already indicated that is organized by the Department of Women. And out of that, we have, as departments, understood that there were various initiatives that were taken after the president has made that call. However, there were also very much glaring weaknesses, specifically in terms of coordination, because none of us as government departments really took the initiative to implement what the president has instructed. From our side as the Department of Basic Education, this was never a strategy, and this initiative was never presented and taken as a strategic intervention within the department, I think for various reasons, which I think some of them have already been indicated here. Instead, what was then done was just a volunteer program where employees were just requested to do it as and when they wish to do that. Well, I've already indicated in terms of us being part of the task team that the Department of Women is coordinating. And from our side, we know there were provinces that had collaborations with Procter and Gamble that delivered some sanitary towels to schools. Those provinces are Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Gauteng. And currently, we only have a report from Limpopo that there's about 800 schools that received those sanitary towels. However, we do not have the impact of how did that make in terms of the quality, changing the quality of those young women within Limpopo. Well, I think the first presentation touched on this, that within our country as South Africa, as much as this we understand it is a need, there is not really a research that gives us a sense of how much the problem is. Specifically to talking to about girls that are attending school. And we looked at the last Youth Risk Behavior Survey 2011 to check if there is anything that perhaps talks to the fact that there are girls that are losing schools because they lack the availability of sanitary towels. And there is none. I think from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, it just indicates some other reasons that why they would miss schools other than the unavailability of sanitary towels. And to our disbelief, actually it's young boys that are more missing schools than young girls. Well, within our department, this is going to be also discussed tomorrow within the management meeting. And for now, DBE then couldn't really commit into it because the DG was kind of like saying there could be some very financial implications that the program can bring. And this, as Treasury has indicated, there hasn't been any a case that is convincing that has been brought forward to the Treasury. What perhaps could assist is that probably as a country, or even if it's not on a large scale, is the fact that we should perhaps undertake some research, further research into the matter, just to get a sense of what exactly or how big the problem is within the country. And in this instance, I'm specifically referring to girls that are attending school as the Department of Basic Education. Thank you. That's my presentation, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Apology for not preparing a presentation because I was only told this morning to come to this meeting. My name is Ntombi Mazibobo. I'm the director for the Child, Youth and School Health Program in the National Department of Health.
Sorry, madam. Who told you this morning?
I got instructions this morning.
From
you? From my chief.
From the DG?
Not the DG, from my boss.
Your boss is here. What gender?
My flight was booked this morning.
No, we just want to understand, you know, the depth of this thing. Is that a man or a woman?
Apparently, Chair, the invitation came and it was sent to another chief directorate yesterday, and the chief directorate said they are not dealing with adolescent and youth, because our chief directorate deals with adolescent and youth, so we are the people who are supposed to attend this meeting. So that's why all the arrangements were made this morning.
Honorable members, I must tell you, we've got a response at first that they feel that they cannot divulge everything to us. We insisted that they must send someone. So you can see what is happening. Hence, they just informed her yesterday. They were refusing
actually. You may go on.
No, sorry, I'm sorry.
Just to also say, Chair, from the Department of Health, we are also participating in the task team which has been established by the Department of Women, and we've made inputs in the document that they've developed. But basically, when it comes to health, what we are doing with the launch of the Integrated School Health Program in 2012, we are rendering school health services to all schools. We started with quintiles 1, 2, and 3, but now we've moved to all quintiles. So which means that each school is visited at least once a year, where learners in grade R, grade 1, they are assessed for any barriers to learning, but then we move on to grade 4. What we have also done with grade 4 learners, we have also introduced the HPV. I think members are aware that we started the HPV program, which is a vaccine that we give for cancer, which is given to grade 4 learners. We started in 2014. So since 2014, we have reached about more than 1 million learners in grade 4 with the HPV vaccine. So we have now linked the HPV vaccine with the deworming program, which started 2016, the first round. The main sort of driver of the deworming program is Department of Basic Education, but the two programs are now given together.
Honorable Zege.
Chairperson, thank you very much. My apology, ma'am, for interrupting you. It's 27 minutes to 3. The president is coming at 3 o'clock. So we thought that you'll be just zoom into the issue. Just be specific here. The other things we'll call you when we want to get the information, especially on the HPV. It's a very important a matter that we should present maybe in the near future. But today we want the issue on the sanitary towels. What is your role as the Department of Health since the pronouncement by the president in 2011. Direct to the point.
Thank you for that. I just wanted to sort of give a broader picture that from the Department of Health, with regard to sanitary towels, we are not giving any sanitary towels, but we give key messages on health education to all the learners at school because it's done through the Integrated School Health Program because each school is visited at least once a year.
Okay.
So that's the main role that we play from the Department of Health.
Okay. I think we have heard you. One is just wondering, what is this task team? We've got a task team and it seems everybody's just relaxing. I'm going to give this opportunity to the members. Majek.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know if I'll be reversing. I would like to pose a question to the Department of National Treasury. And then basic education. I just wanted to check from National Treasury. After President's speech in 2011, the SONA speech, no budget at all up to date has been given towards sanitary towels or allocated towards the sanitary towels. I just want to find out that. Secondly, from basic education, I just want to check, have you engaged any of the community-based organizations like NGOs in terms of how this program can be outsourced? Thank you.
Chair, adding to the question, starting from Treasury, do we have gender focal person in all the departments? Who's supposed to mainstream issues of gender in the departmental strategic plans? The question goes to everybody in the department. The second issue, Chair, is whether Treasury, is it aware that the
they have a mandate to oversight on the department, on the expenditure. Because my view is that if the president present the SONA, then the department submits APPs to Treasury for funding. It's the responsibility of Treasury to say your APP is not responding to the presidential SONA and flick those issues. The work of Treasury is not to allocate only, is to bring revenue, to allocate, to play oversight. When do you play your oversight? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Just another quick question. There's been no response to my query about the menstrual cup. Is this something that is considered? Because I believe it's inexpensive.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think both the Department of Health and Basic Education, they have not given us what we have requested for. I think this was a wasteful expenditure, unfortunately, that they traveled from Pretoria to here, but without giving us a very important matter, without giving us information that we have requested. It's unfortunate, Chairperson, is 5 years down the line. Seems as if we intentionally want to fail this government. That's unfortunate, and you know, if you can hear honorable members of the opposition in the House attacking the president of this country, you'll feel bad, because the president has given us the directive we as departments must implement, you know. So we are doing something else. On the other side, we are doing something else. I think we are failing our president intentionally so. And I also want to say, Chair, actually, in addition to what Honorable Semenya has said, you know, the issue of gender focal points is a problem across the board. Most of the department are going to respond to say, yes, we have them. But if you check the location of that person, you'll find that it's in the junior level. She's not a decision maker, or he's not a decision maker. And what we have recommended is that they must be in at the level of the chief director, and in the office, which will be responsible, in the DG's office. The DG must account for that. So this is a problem, and I'm definitely sure that we're going to get an answer now, Chairperson, with regard to gender focal points. And Chair, I think also we as members of Parliament, I think we have also failed in our responsibility. Why am I saying this? The president, after the president has given us a State of Nation address, we normally meet with the departments, each and every quarter we interact with them. I think this, actually, we're supposed to take it, you know, ask all these different departments, consistently so, raise it with them. Especially in the Ministry of Women, I think we have failed the people of this country, because to me, it is their responsibility as a coordinating structure. They must coordinate this program. They have to say, what is it? You know, we normally say, what are your responses with regard to the State of Nation address? Every year you'll find that question directed to the ministry. You see, but you have not been consistently raising the point, Chairperson. So, to me, we are not going to get a positive response that we are looking for now, but we want to appreciate all the departments, provincially so, that have contributed to this program, allocating sanitary towels to different schools. We want to appreciate to the private sector that have already distributed, but this is not enough. We want government departments to prioritize it. We want to see it in the APPs of different departments. Because National Treasury is saying we are looking for business cases from different departments. Even in our department, in the Ministry of Women, there's nothing. I can bring you the APP or the strategic plan, a five-year document. There's nothing silent about sanitary towels. I think this is it's a task for all the members of parliament, not for myself sitting in that committee of women. It's the task of all the members sitting in all different, you know, departments. But at last, you must have one coordinating structure. And I think, Chair, this task team has been established now soon, maybe after we called. So you can see that you are not going to get a lot of information that we want. So we must wait, maybe just push the task team to finish the matter so that we can be able to reach the objectives that we want. Thank you, Chair.
That we are not getting the responses that we expected. And for us to continue really just talking about what we think the departments, the issue that has been raised, they are very sensitive and very important. Siminya, if you remember, the issue of gender focal points, it's 15 years now we've been talking about it. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to listen to people talking about the very same things that we did long ago, and now it is as if it's a new thing. Pet, I want to allow the lady, maybe she wants to say something different, and we are going to wrap up and we close the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. To answer Honourable Robinson's question about menstrual cups, there are locally produced menstrual cups called Empower and Match, which I have now forgotten what it stands for, but it's a reproductive justice organization that is part of VITS, that is based in Durban, has done research in KZN that says that menstrual cups are... The Empower was given in two communities in Durban, and a lot of the women that were using them were satisfied with the project. However, there's other research out of South Africa that points out that if there's not a proper supply of sanitation, particularly water and electricity, it is not safe to use a menstrual cup. It causes stuff like urinary infections. But however, this is where the Dignity Dreams and sub pads, which are alternative forms of reusable pads, comes in, where they use normal soap such as Sunlight liquid soap or the green block of Sunlight, soaked in warm water and salt to be cleaned. So just 2 weeks ago, for the woman that I was talking about in the school in KZN, we have secured funding from the HPCSA that will be buying the 100 learners reusable pairs, because within that community as well, it is a community where there's not enough water. So salt is inexpensive, and there will always be soap in the house.
Okay, thank
people,
you, Mikey. Thank you.
Yeah.
Give us a whip.
Thank you, Chair. I think we need another round just to come back. And I think we need another space just to discuss further, especially the tax issues which you were raising, because it doesn't give us time to argue with yourselves, and also explain some of the other issues of gender equality. It's very, very important that we must be in the same understanding, because we're not in the same understanding, it seems. Because when gender issues are put on the table, people take time to implement those things. It shows their understanding it's not there or it's very minimal. So for us to implement some of the issues, we need to understand the agency and all that. You wouldn't have research in around South Africa, especially on African communities. You wouldn't have research because there were no researchers who were actually our education system doesn't encourage those who do their thesis to do a research on the conditions and solving problems in South Africa. You must remember that the content that is presented in sociology and psychology, it's European, yes. And societies that you study, they are always Americans. And so there has never been sociologists that sit down and solve the South African problem and understand how it manifests itself. In education, I can give you an example with me. I used to stay with my kids, my younger brothers, away from school. If my brother is sick, I will stay with my brother, be absent.
Honorable Pet?
Not because I was menstruating then.
2 minutes.
So you see, how many other young girls miss schooling because their performance won't be good. If they're away from school, the lesson has passed and they won't be able to perform like boys who have been there. So you don't have a record of how many young girls miss school, and you wouldn't know the reasons. There will be a number of social reasons apart from menstruation. So you see how many days those girls miss school on top of menstruation. You see, other social burdens that were created by a system that forces us to be where we were. You see, so all those things should be at the back of the mind of each and every African woman who sits there behind the desk, who receives the issues that affect communities. You see? So what I'm saying, Chair, is that we need more discussion with these. I think you must come back. They shouldn't give you another responsibility. When we call you, you should be the same people so that you can relate the message much better when we have reconscientized ourselves with the matters and be able to move forward and put deadlines by when should we have done 1, 2, and 3 so that we know when we go and report to our communities, we know this department is going to do this by this time, you see. So thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Candy.
Thanks for coming forth. But you've left us in a gray area. There's a lot of confusion. There hasn't been enough clarities around the issues that are bothering us. These are the kids, and they are our treasure, especially black. We've suffered enough, and we expect you young ladies to actually come up with something tangible next time.
Okay. From this committee, I think the next step, yes, I understand what Honorable Pet is saying. I think we're going to invite this task team. They must come and tell us actually what is the progress so far, because we have had all these presentations and we seem to be playing, and it's a very important thing. It's lives of the social lives of our future leaders, our future professional people, and also poor people, poor women. It's not only young girls, it's about the women, the poor women, and who cannot, everything is just against the inflation right now. What about those people who are not earning anything? Upet is quite right to say we as people who sit behind the desk
when we deal with these issues, we must understand that it is us, and it's our kids, and it's our nation, and it's our South Africa. We are going to call in answer to this task team. On the other hand, we are going to also invite you to bring, you know, a very progressive report. And pet amongst everyone who are going to come here, it must be a man and a woman, not only women. Yes. Thank you very much.
Chair, they must bring the gender focal person.
The what?
No, we are going to launch a he for she here in Parliament. A he for she. Men are going to be working with us. They must.
I'm going to go to the next one.